And Father, we just take this song and proclamation and bring it before you right now. And I pray, God, right now, we thank you. Father, we let you know right now, and you know our hearts, but we are people in need, and we need you, dear Lord. We need you to bring your comfort right now. I pray for any of you here today, this morning, right now, and are just feeling turmoil in your heart and in your mind. The Lord is here. He is with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. And he would desire for you to receive from him his grace, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Some of you are struggling with just your health, and I pray that God would minister to you healing and encouragement. Some are looking for insight. What decision to make? Time is pressing in, and there's an important decision to make. And I know that God will give the insight and direction that you need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make straight your path. Dear Father, make straight the paths that are crooked. Make straight the paths that are looking for you to illuminate the next step to be taken. Father, we look to you today. We pray, God, for our nation, for the new administration, president, for all those associated with that, for our own state. And Lord, we look to you. Guide and direct us. Teach us how to pray, how to intercede. Teach us how to be and become all that you want us to be as your children and as your church. We commit this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Continue standing if you would. And we have Bibles up front here on the back shelves and in the back. If you have a Bible, we'd ask you to open it up to Romans this morning. Romans chapter 12. And for those that may be new, again, just trust you, feel and experience the presence of God. We're a ministry that not only teaches from the Bible, but through the Bible. So we've been in the book of Romans on Sundays. We're in chapter 12. We continue where we left off last week. By the way, on Wednesday, we're in Daniel chapter 3. It was interesting because we're in chapter 2 this last week, and my grandson was in school during the week, and they were studying the things that we learned in Daniel 2 regarding Alexander the Great. And so it's truth. The Word of God is truth, and we have his Word with us this morning. And we want to read a few verses out of chapter 12 of Romans. The title of the message is Radical Love, the Right Response When the Wrong Was Done. In Romans chapter 12, we continue in verse 14, and it states in the Bible, God's Word, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. And do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And again, Heavenly Father, we're praying and asking your blessing, your anointing, your empowering upon this Bible study. Open up our hearts and minds. Give us a willingness to hear what you have to say and to be willing to do what you'd have us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, the title of the message is Radical Love. And 42 years ago, I got married. It was in 1978, and both Pam and I just became new believers in Christ a few months before that. And I can tell you, getting married December 16th, I was so excited, and just to be able to love my wife, and I went through the pre-marriage, and I began to learn scriptures, love your wife like Christ loved the church, and okay, yeah, I got all of that. But as soon as we got married and went on our honeymoon, we were driving from Fort Collins, Colorado, to California. I wanted to introduce her to my family. My mom and dad came to the wedding in December, but my eight other brothers and sisters were at home, and I was excited to introduce my wife to them. And as we were driving on that first day, I just was so excited. And I heard my wife say in the car, I'm a little bit thirsty. I said, that's good. And we just kept driving. And a little bit later, she says, I'm a little bit thirsty. And that's great. Got it. I remember you saying that a while ago, a couple hours ago. But for me, I was on a mission trip. I mean, we're going to get the miles. I mean, this is exciting. 300 miles for sure. And then she just got in one of those moods. I'd never seen those before. I don't believe there was full disclosure before we got married. And tears starting running down. Wow, what's going on? I mean, something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. Are you sure? No, I'm fine. Okay, what is it? I mentioned before, about 4 hours ago, I was kind of a little bit thirsty. I go, yeah, I got that. But honey, I'm passing trucks, man. We're making good time. But anyways, I had to pull over at 7-Eleven and let her get a big gulp. And that's fine. I mean, not a problem. But the hardest thing for me, men, and this is hard, it was at that 7-Eleven and looking at the freeway and looking at all those semis that passed going by. I was, man, I was ahead of them all. But that's just the beginning. I am still learning desperately about love, about how to love, in a radical sort of a way. And the scriptures are very helpful because these scriptures are given to us in His Word because we need to hear from God regarding this kind of radical love. Notice in our text this morning in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And that's not easy to do. As a matter of fact, I don't want to do that, quite frankly. But I have to do that because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I just soon retaliate on somebody that persecuted me or at least pulled in front of me. I mean, whatever. And then sometimes it's just like, Lord, can I not be a Christian just for a little bit, like, you know, 15 minutes or so? But that's the carnal nature. And God's redeemed us, and there's a new nature, a spiritual nature. But there's a conflict going on inside of me and inside of you. And God explains to us this conflict, and He explains how He will dominate over our carnality. He'll explain to us what it is to be men and women, His children, walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It tells us, it is not sufficient to avoid returning evil for evil, nor even to banish vindictive feelings, but we must be able sincerely to desire their happiness. In Matthew chapter 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 10 through 12, it speaks about why blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I feel like the church is being persecuted like never before in a very clear sort of a way. It's overwhelming what's happening. Just even in our own city, it made national news this last week because of the disruption happening in Bellingham. Bellingham is a subset of Seattle. Bellingham is like the university of Seattle regarding the laws and the laws that were not made and the violation of what God has called us as a nation to be. We'll get into this next week in chapter 13. We'll speak about the responsibilities of leaders and our response to them. But we're looking at this idea of doing what God says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. You know, I was reading, and I'm in touch with the Family Policy Institute of Washington, and as was stated earlier, 48 years ago was a decision regarding Roe versus Wade, regarding abortion. More than 63 million people have been killed as a result of that. And according to this latest article, the government not only tolerates Washington State abortion, but it actively promotes it as a health care option. The leadership of Washington legislators is working to make abortion even more accessible to children and students. There's a bill, HB 1225, being introduced this session. Planned Parenthood clinics may soon be able to operate in public schools all across the state. Abortion is not and has not been and will never be health care. Health care gives life. abortion takes lives and destroys families. And if your heart breaks because of a decision made earlier in your life, we want to help. We want to help every person. There's ministries and ways that we can help the brokenhearted and those that deal deeply because of that decision. But we're living at a time right now that I am witnessing the death of a nation. That's what I'm witnessing. But at the same time, not only the death of a nation, but I'm witnessing the life of the Spirit in believers like never before. The life of the Spirit, the belief in God, the hope in God. We're seeing people get excited about God and about His Word and beginning to understand the Word of God. You're here because you want to know what does the Bible say about life and about godliness. You're here because of that. And God's answering that prayer request. I asked permission. Yesterday, I received a text message in the evening from one of our dear sisters here in the fellowship. They've been a part of our fellowship for about 20 years or so, her and her daughter. Her husband wasn't able to attend because he chose not to be a follower of Jesus. But I am so thankful because he's always been a very kind and thoughtful man. Thoughtful enough to allow his wife and daughter to attend our ministries and be involved and be supportive. And I really appreciated that, even though it wasn't a place he wanted to be. But it never meant that we stopped praying and interceding. And last night, he accepted Jesus Christ into his life. And a follower of Jesus. And we have, in recent times, you know, we pray every Monday night here at 7 o'clock, and there's a good group out, but there's been times that we've concentrated on this dear friend who now is a dear brother in Jesus. By the way, he has stage 4 cancer. And so the best gift that he could give to his wife and his daughter and his grandson was receiving his gift for his life. And that is reason to celebrate. You know, the Bible speaks about, as we go to the next verse, it speaks about in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And at the same time, getting that news, that's news to rejoice and rejoicing on the phone. And then I got a text, my wife and I together, from a dear friend that used to be a part of our fellowship, and it's a picture of an ultrasound. And she's so excited. There's a baby coming. And by the way, it's a baby in the womb. She's excited about the baby that she's having. And I know where we're going with this message, and I know the content. I mean, I've studied all week. I know the things that we're covering today. And it's just interesting that I get a text of an ultrasound. I get a message of a salvation. I get information that somebody else is greatly suffering because of personal situations and interceding and praying. And as a believer, you move. And sometimes you move from a few minutes rejoicing to a few others having to express sorrow and sadness. Believers are to identify with the world and its ups and downs and of human life, to be a healing balm for this cold world. Sympathy means I care about your suffering. Empathy means I feel your suffering. And I looked to Pastor Chuck Swindoll, and he was speaking about how, and it wasn't specifically in this context, but I'm using it, but I feel that God needed to wake me up and his church up, perhaps you up, because things were out of control regarding Christian life and Christian walk, and people were just moved in directions that I believe weren't very fruitful. And he spoke about indifference, non-commitment, disengagement, no sharing and no caring, meals that are eaten with headsets on. It's none of your business was the attitude. Don't hassle me. Don't bring any conflicts to me. Don't give me any accountability. I don't want to share. I don't want to reach out. I don't really care. Just let me watch my device, and I don't want to look at anybody. And now comes what God is doing. He's changing us. He's using this time to allow us to come alongside and to make people the priority they need to be. Your spouses, your family, your friends. Make people the priority and be able to rejoice with them and be able to express the great joys. You know, There's some things to do right and some things to do wrong. There was this man that was in the hospital and someone came in, and this person that came in never stopped talking. What he said was true. But the patient in there says, "I wish he would go away." And he finally did. And then another friend came and sat there for an hour and just listened. Spoke very briefly. He wept with me. I didn't want for him to leave, but he had to go. I didn't want him to leave because he was there for me. And God is working in our lives to teach us how to love in a radical sort of a way. There was a little boy and he loved his neighbor next door, Mr. Willie. Mr. Willie was a great neighbor and grandpa in his age. But Mr. Willie's wife had died. And the little boy next door told his mom he's going over to Mr. Willie's house. Mr. Willie had a big front porch and had one of those swings on the front porch. And you sit on the swings and it just moves. You don't have to do a lot of work. It just moves. And the little boy was there with Mr. Willie, a grandpa-like figure to him. And when he came home, mom said to her son, what did you and Mr. Willie do? What did you guys talk about? And he says, "No, mom, we didn't do much of anything." "Well, what did you do?" "Well, I just sat on the swing with Mr. Willie and I didn't say anything. I just sat there, mom, with him and I helped him to cry." And sometimes that's exactly what God is wanting from you and from me. Another lesson of the many lessons I'm learning and many more still to learn. My wife doesn't need to be fixed in terms of here's my problem or situation, and that is always where I would dive into, and it would just take her in those early years to explain, "Please just sit and listen and don't give me any of your answers." I don't know if she necessarily said that, but that's how it came across. Love you. Anyways, because I didn't know how to love that way. I didn't know. I'm learning. God knows. God is trying to teach us this morning a few things. We're going to be attacked more than ever before. We need to learn how to respond with a blessing and not a vindictive curse. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that's never going to happen unless we find ourselves in a situation of taking time to be with people. Verse 16, it's almost in itself, 4 points are given, and they're great little bullet points just from that verse. Notice in verse 16, it deals with humility and love. Number one, be of the same mind towards one another. That point number one, means agree on the essentials. This is so important. There's so much hostility and just anger and hatred stirred up all over the place. Unplug from a lot of stuff that you're listening to. Come up for air. Breathe. There are things in everybody's lives that we can agree with. I'm talking about a desire to reach a lost world. I'm talking about a desire to help encourage followers of Christ in that context. So we need to find what we can agree on that's essential. And when we find that, we have some measure of talking and communicating and beginning to build a relationship with someone. And the problem is that you and I may know what the real deep, sinful problem that a friend may have. And they're quite aware of it too. But they're not at a point to discuss it with you. But if we follow the scripture, be of the same mind towards one another, certainly it falls in context of a Christian being like-minded, biblically speaking. But in terms of reaching in humility and love, it means to agree on the essentials. Years ago, we lived in the U District. That's in the University of Washington. We lived in Greek Row by choice. We rented a house there. we and maybe just two other people were the only married couples in a major area. But we chose to live there. And we started Christian ministry at the UW, at SPU, North Seattle Community College, Bible studies and other things, and had major outreaches there. I'd go out on the avenue, the UW Avenue, the University Avenue, on Friday nights with some friends, men, and we'd share Christ. And I remember this fellow that was out there, he had nothing to do, but I wanted to agree at least on some essential thing. And I was able to connect with him, and they follow a routine. And if you kind of are out there at a certain time, you'll catch up with him, which I did, and got acquainted with him, and had an opportunity after the basic essentials were touched into, speaking sports or other things like that, and letting him know that my purpose was for him to come to Christ. He had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, he would point out to me where the policemen were at and the unmarked cars around there, and he's talking to me, and I says, I'm not here for any of your any sales or anything. I'm here because of Christ. And you know, because there was that attachment in the essentials, the connection in the essentials, it provided the opportunity for an open door, so much so that one night he said he wanted to be a follower of Christ. And not only that, is that this is where it has to kick in. This is where your faith has to become real. He's not going to survive 4 hours on the street with a new commitment to Christ based on what his world's like and what his income source is. So it says, I got a job for you, and I got a place for you to stay. Are you willing to make that commitment? And he was. And he was a good worker. We had him work around a church facility that needed help and a place to stay there. And he was locked in, and he was great. And I'd see him in the morning and check on him. It's like, progress is being made. But after about 3 months, nowhere to be found. Checked everywhere, nowhere. Well, I said, where are you going? So I'm going back on the Ave. So I'm going to find this guy. I'm going to find him, man. Because Satan's got him. And I never heard anything back until a while later. And I still kept it. A handwritten letter. 1988. So what I'm doing today, it's not like somebody just comes late. This is my life. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is how we live. In this letter, he's writing from Walla Walla. He got thrown in jail, in prison. He says, I'm writing you to let you know where I am. And I want to thank you for bringing me back home to the Lord when you did. Believe me, it's made a difference. And then he asked, I need some Bibles and some tracts. And we could send them at that time. Doubt if they can get in there today. I'm not sure. But we're able to do that and continue to do that. I don't know where he's at now. I share this only because if your heart is for God, which I believe it is, and desire for people to come to the Lord, then there needs to be a change of our heart. Be of the same mind. Decide, am I going to be a blessing, or am I going to go out there and just criticize these people that are lost? I'm going to be able to rejoice. I'm going to be able to weep. And then it says, do not set your mind, back on verse 16, second point, do not set your mind on high things. Be like Jesus in Philippians 2. Jesus left the holiness of heaven to come live in this sinful world. If you want to know what it's like not to be high-minded, he humbled himself. Number 3 in verse 16 is, associate with the humble. Seek out those on the fringes. And I love when somebody's just all tattooed up and all over and whatever else like that and just have that look and as though it's intimidating or whatever. I just know they're just like any other person. You're just like anyone. You need love. You need forgiveness. And I just always laugh because this is like, it's not working. I care about you. You want some coffee? You want something to eat? What do you want? And then the last one, again, verse 16, 4 points given to us just from the scriptures. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Enough said on that. Pride will poison us, and fear will paralyze us. Fear will cause you to be too timid to confront and too fragile to seek what is good. Look at verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Again, this is almost being repetitious, but we're not to retaliate. There's nothing that can hurt the cause of Christ more than a dishonest Christian or a Christian that is just unnecessarily retaliating. However, he does want to know if you are truthful. Are you a person that can be dependent upon? Pray for people instead of repaying them what they deserve. And if you have a hard time understanding that, be thankful that Jesus never repaid us for what we deserved. As a matter of fact, he washed the account clean completely. And we rejoice. There's nothing in heaven regarding us. 18 is a powerful verse. Verse 18 of Romans 12. Verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. So it's saying that not all situations are possible. This verse can literally set some of you free today. Absolutely free. You've been held in bondage by the emotional work manipulatively of another person in your life. It could be another family member, somebody that you know, a past friend, someone in the workplace. But there's a problem. There's perhaps a conflict. There's a disagreement. And you've purposed in your heart as this Christian just, okay, I'm gonna make it right. I'm going to do whatever else. So there's a responsibility that you have and that I have. We all have a personal responsibility. And we need to take that responsibility seriously. And we need to move ahead. So you need to ask for forgiveness. You may need to pay back something that needs to make things right. Whatever needs to make things right, you need to do that. But you're not in charge of the heart of another person. You don't control their heart. But you've let them control your heart. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Because now you come under their power. And we should be under the power of God. We should be under the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. So we want to live peaceably. There's people that get along with me and others that can't stand me. I'm big enough to understand that. My thing is, I don't hold it, you know, I'm not mad, I'm not angry. Just be blessed. Find a place, find a pastor, find a ministry that's going to be helpful for you. Don't make it your project in life to make my life miserable. Seriously. I mean, really, there's too many options and time is too short. That's not your calling from God. In the spiritual gifting things, it did not say you have the gift of making a pastor miserable. Be free. You could be set free from that. And it's okay. So I bless you. Just find where you can go and prosper. I know many, many pastors. If you want help, I can help you. Whatever. It's great. I'm not saying be warmed and be filled. I'm just saying find another place and be blessed. But I'm not going to live my life under your scrutiny. I'm moving on with what God's called me to do. And so I'm going to ignore you. So that's it. And if you send an email and don't sign it, we have a wonderful shredder. I mean, seriously. I mean, if you want to talk about something, try to talk. Try to work through best we can. But the reality is, in life, we live in a fallen world. Right? So I'm going to do as much as it depends upon me, possible. I'm going to do my part. But I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm not going to open up my heart for your tentacles to try to control. And then people will go outward and then try to get their little support group to, you know, add pressure or whatever to your life or whatever else. Let it go. Pray for them. Pray for them. See, right now we're living too in a nation that wants to control. and you know, through laws and through policies and directions, you want to control my life. You know, I'm under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Again, we'll get into this next week in chapter 13, but you can be set free. Too many people are under fear right now. Too many people are living under fear that has been placed upon them by somebody, governments, or other people that want to control your life. Your life is not up for the control of others. It's for the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's godly order that He's put into life in marriages and families and churches. And we follow that godly order. And it's a peaceable thing. But this is put in the Word of God for what we're talking about. You can be set free today. Do what your responsibility as to the Lord. Please God, seek Him. Know what you're supposed to do. Let it go. Let Him work. Let Him have His way in whatever time may be needed. Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 19 to 21. We got to pedal here a little bit faster. But beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And that follows up on that. Let God work. So, in other words, instead of you, because what's going to happen, if you don't release it to God, you're going to get mad, and you're going to want to get into this conflict and confrontation. You're going to fight. You're going to say things you regret. You're going to do things. If it's peaceable, make peace with God. Try to make peace with others. Leave it with God and let God have the opportunity to work on your behalf. You know that. In my own life, there's things God's working on in my life right now. There's things deep in my own heart that only He can lead and make right and do right and just be yielded to Him. I want to be more like Jesus. John the Baptist said, there's too much of me. I need more of Jesus. And I would say the same. Now look at verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Hey, yeah, I like that one. Pastor, forget those first two things. Talk about the coals on the head. That sounds good. I've been looking for a scripture to justify what I want to do because it's how I feel. Well, when you look at that, you think, what is that? I mean, wow. Well, you know it's not going to contradict the Spirit of the Lord in this. So I believe in reading, and there's a few different explanations, but one would be in this time that if heat went out in your home, you couldn't call barren heating, okay? You need coals. You need some heat. And so you would have to go to a neighbor or a friend, get a bucket of coals. Many times they carried it on their head, coals of fire. And it's a rather humbling and embarrassing thing to do because there goes Pastor Tom with a bucket of coals on his head. He can't provide for his own place. I mean, it's too bad. But anyways, it's just saying the guy, he's feeling it. But the thing in verse 20 is, take initiative. You know, do something that's an encouragement to somebody that really is bothered by you. Take that step and do something. You can do it really easy. You know, you get a bill, you get something going on, you're overcharged, you're just all that, and you wait online, and you wait online, and you wait online, and but if you just said, I'm sure you're really busy. Thank you. I'm glad you can talk right now. My name is Tom. What's your name? Now, it's totally, I know it sounds like Eddie Haskell. But that is what it's saying. Be a little bit different. Be a little different. Take initiative. Are we serious about the lost coming to Christ? Finally, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we're living at a time right now that all we see is evil in many ways, but we need to think about the goodness of God, and we need to see the hand of God the hand of God working. Be careful. Be careful how much of that stuff you take into your mind right now. May our minds and our hearts be saturated with the goodness of God. God is with us. He's for us. He's working at this time. He's asking us to be different. We're His representatives in these last days in which we live. 1 Peter 3:9 said, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. We're called to be different. And you're here because you believe that. There's other things you could be doing today. You're here. And when you came this morning, we have been praying, believing, preparing, and trusting that God's going to meet with us. He's going to meet with us through the time of worship and prayer. He's going to meet with us in this word. He's going to provide something that each of our hearts needed to hear, because His word does that. It doesn't return void. It accomplishes its purposes. And the Spirit of God is with you and strengthening you and giving you, I believe, hope and purpose and direction. And we're going to continue on being followers of Christ, continue on being built up, continuing doing what God has asked us to do. I shared on Wednesday, and I'll share it again today, but the hostility against the church is growing rapidly. And we're seeing it in various legislations, executive orders, and other things that are being signed and to put into play. And it's just like, okay, so Lord, how do we handle this? How do we walk with this? Well, I'm going to tell you what's dear in my heart, because I'm a pastor, so I'm going to be very biased on what I'm going to say, because this is where I live. I'm a pastor. I'm His pastor. But when you tell me that the church is not essential, the Holy Spirit has to do everything to keep me from just becoming what I shouldn't become in this. Why? Because listen, the church is the bride of Christ. Christ died on the cross. We worship those songs. He shed His blood for our sins. He died for us. He rose again. He's alive. He's provided salvation. And not only are we followers of Christ and Christians, but we're the bride of Christ. And therefore, Christ is the groom. We're the bride. Therefore, when you tell me that the church isn't essential, you're telling Christ His bride isn't essential. And I would believe that any man here with his wife, if anyone spoke in a derogatory way about your wife, brother, and said that your wife was just nothing and not essential and not necessary, you'd be going at it, because that's just not going to fly. It's not going to allow that. I mean, you're talking about my wife. You're talking about my bride. Well, we're talking about the bride of Christ and Christ's bride. His blood-bought bride is essential and will always be essential. And we're going to always continue doing what we're doing. And we're going to worship God without restraint. And we're going to learn from God and from His word. And we're going to trust God to take care of us. Trust God. You know, He's the healer. He's the provider. He's with us. We'll trust Him through everything. Our lives are in His hands and no one else's. We belong to Him. So He has chosen this time in world history to have you and me represent Him in what I consider to be the last disciples before the rapture of the church. I am blessed to be on your team. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do commit, God, today to You. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You're doing. Thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit. And God, thank You that You're so patient with me, and I imagine with many of us, Lord. So hearts that need to be touched with healing, grace, and mercy, touch those hearts in the deepest way. Touch our minds, God. We want to have the mind of Christ and not the mind of the world. Not the mind of the media. We want to have the mind of Christ. Wash our minds, God, and renew us when we leave here today with renewed hope and purposefulness. And Father, we do pray for those that are coming to You. We thank You for that, God. Open up hearts. Cause people, God, to come back to you, walk with you, surrender to you. And Father, I do pray for the church, the body of Christ. God, may this be what we've always prayed about, to represent you well in the fullness of radical love. In Jesus' name, amen.